Welcome to Career Tools. This week, Working From Home Will Stunt Your Career, Chapter 3, Relationships, Part 2. The questions this cast answers are, what effect will working from home have on my career, and what should I consider when debating whether to work from home?
Hi folks, this is Mark. Welcome back. It's a new year, 2022. We get further and further away from the year that shall not be named with a number, and we're not going to have any ads this cast. We're just going to say Happy New Year. We hope you had lovely holidays, however you chose to spend them, hopefully with family and friends. And we look forward to another year of serving you, and we hope your year is prosperous, ethical, and successful. Happy New Year.
Last week, we talked about the working from home discount on relationships, and we talked about having fewer relationships and those relationships being more narrow. And this week, we're going to start talking about communication. Another thing that you lose is the quantity of communication. So relationships are built on communication. If you don't communicate with someone, you don't have a relationship. And so communication is a basic building block of success. And if you're working from home or you're working remotely and everybody else is in the office or even also working remotely, you lose the quantity of that communication. You also lose the quality, which we'll get to in a moment, but it might not be obvious to you that the amount of communication you're having has gone down if you're still receiving endless emails and IM and you're in Zoom meetings half the day. But what we forget is all of the communication that happens by osmosis when we're in the office. It's things like you're in a meeting, but five senior managers walk past the office, you know, the meeting room, and the meeting rooms are always all glass, and five senior managers walk past walking really quickly. It's like something's going on, you know?
Yeah.
And you're answering emails, but you can hear someone talking about a project that's going really wrong, even though they're 10 desks away from you. If you can hear it 10 desks away from me, it's going really wrong. Or, you know, I type things and I look away because I can type my keyboard and I'm trying to think of the right word. And I look out the window and I see whose car's parked there. And I think, Oh, so-and-so's got a new car, or so-and-so's parked in the manager's spot today. I wonder why that is, you know, or you're trying to do something and you just sigh really loudly and somebody goes, do you want a cup of tea? And you're like, yes, please. Yeah. Do you need to walk down to the coffee bar? You know,
right.
It's all that stuff that you take in that you have no idea you're taking in, but it's all communication. There's a reason that restaurants have kitchens that you can see into when you're waiting for your dinner. It's because if you see the restaurant, the chefs and everybody else working, you think your dinner is coming. You believe that it's coming. Whereas if, you know, the waiter went through a door and you can't see anything and the waiter's not come out, you have no idea what's going on. And you start to believe, I'm never going to get fed.
Yeah, you go, what's going on back there?
Yeah.
What are they doing?
It's not communication like spoken, but it is communication. And without being in the same space, you don't get any of that communication.
Wendy, I can't count the number of times working in an office where mass email would go out or a big email would go out to everyone and then never failed. 5 minutes later, someone pops into my office and goes, did you get that email? Yes. Did you see this? Right?
Yeah.
Where what's the alternative? I mean, they could pick up the phone, but they're not going to, you know, reply to that email or forward you the email that you were already on and go, oh, did you get this? Right? That doesn't happen. So yeah, I can't, so many times, right? Did you get this email? Yeah, I was on the email. That takes us to lower communication quality. So what's worse about communication quantity going down, or at least those unspoken, or maybe, I love the term osmosis, right? That communication by osmosis is that the quality of communication goes down. IMs are great, right? And that's how work gets done in a lot of organizations, especially remotely. But does a smiley face really convey everything that you would have said in person, right?
Somebody sent an IM, we use Slack, and somebody sent one. Mark called me like 5 minutes later and said, what did you mean by that face? And I said, oh, I was surprised and happy. And he said, that's not what that smiley face means. And I picked
what
my thought of that emoticon was and what it actually meant were completely different. And so he was certain that I hadn't meant what I had written or what I had, the emoticon that I had used, which is why he called me. But it's easy done. And you can hit the wrong one by mistake.
Oh, yeah. Easily. Yeah. I remember, oh gosh, I'm not gonna say who, but I remember somebody in our Slack, I don't know, it's a few months ago, accidentally, I think was probably trying to pick like the smiley emoji or something and picked the kissing emoji, like the smooch with the heart. Yeah. And luckily, like if you're quick on the draw, you can edit that out. But what a moment of like, oh no, whoops, sorry.
Those moments used to happen in the office too. The number of people when mobile phones came in and they would be hanging up from their boss and say, love you, because that's what they were used to doing with their significant others. So it happens all the time.
Right. Or your phone rings. This is back when ringtones were like a big deal, but you know, somebody's phone would ring and it would be like an embarrassing ringtone. Like, really? Okay. You know, but yeah, I mean, that stuff, it happens, you know, and I think of the smileys and when I look at the different smileys and I forget, like I'll go choose the smiley and then or the emoticon or whatever it is. And I see the name of it and I go, oh, that's not really what I am intending it to be used for or what I've always seen it used for. But certainly, yeah, it's there. So yeah, you don't really know what necessarily you're conveying with an emoticon. And, you know, we've talked about the fact that email or written communication doesn't convey tone and it's really hard to necessarily decipher meaning, but phone calls and Zoom meetings aren't the same as being in the office either. Phone calls tend to be shorter and more direct, right? If you're going to call someone, it's to get a quick point resolved. We don't typically do the, you know, call just to say, good morning, how are you today?
In part because you can't see what the other person is doing. So you don't know whether or not you've interrupted them. So you assume that you have.
Yeah, exactly. If I see someone walking down the hall, I know, yeah, they may be going somewhere, but if I start walking with them, I'm not interrupting them. I'm not taking them from what they're doing. Or if they're making a cup of coffee and they're waiting for the coffee to, you know, brew, it's a perfect time to just kind of chime in and say, hey, how's your day going so far, right? And so, yeah, we don't have those, right? Because we're just calling to get an answer to a question or resolve something quickly, so... We look only at the person talking instead of gathering the data about how the point is going down the rest of the people in the room or in the Zoom call.
Yeah, when you're in a meeting, you're looking at everybody's faces. And even if you're not looking at their faces, you can feel the atmosphere of a room and think,
totally.
You know, oh, that isn't going down well. That decision is not... people are saying yes, but they're not happy. Whereas on Zoom, you're only ever looking at the person who's speaking and you don't get everybody else's reaction. And the Zoom and Teams, they're all the same. And whoever the conference software designers are, you're doing it wrong because you make it really hard to look at anybody's face other than the person who's speaking.
And here's the thing. Usually when you, in one of those meetings, if you're trying to gauge people's reaction, a clear giveaway is when people start looking at other people in the meeting. Mm-hmm. Well, on Zoom, I'm just looking at my screen. I'm looking at who's talking. And then if I want to look at other people, my eyes are shifting so slightly, it's imperceptible. And so you don't see that, but it's much more clear in person. You can see that their head is completely turning. Yeah. And so you lose that. So without communication, we know that trust evaporates. And do you trust that nothing's up if you can't see those other senior managers and they haven't talked to your team in a month, right? I think this goes back to kind of human nature, right? Where we're talking about, is no news really good news, right? And I think we just have a tendency to feel out of the loop naturally when we don't see all of that other stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So do you trust that... You know, the project manager is going to fix that, you know, critical path problem if you see no evidence of her doing so and she only joins those Zoom meetings to debrief her part or give her part of the agenda and then leaves as soon as she's done or goes off video and mutes. You know, do you trust that your team has your back if no one picks up on the fact that your smiley faces have now flat lines instead of smiles, right? Do you trust that someone's going to, if you use the wrong smiley, like Wendy said, give you a call and say, hey, is that what you meant? Right? Or what did you mean? Right? Those are critical things.
And we're saying, do you trust? Because we want to help you understand the concept. But the issue of trust and your career success isn't about how much you trust other people. It's about how other people trust you. And so if you reverse that, if you think about all of those situations, if you were on the wrong end of it, are other people trusting you? Are the people who have the power to make decisions in a way that you want them to, do they trust you? And the further away you are, the less likely that is. So now we have to get to the important part, which is what you can do about that.
Yeah. So if having decided that you're going to work from home with the potential reduction in relationships that this will cause, you will need to create an action plan and you're going to need to take action and engage in behaviors to mitigate the loss. Okay. So the first thing you can do is increase communication frequency and quality. In the results chapter of this series, we talked about the communication actions to take because results and relationships are so intertwined, which is we've talked about. We couldn't talk about achieving your results without talking about communication and relationships. We talked about getting clarity on the results required and how they'll be measured. We talked about asking more questions up front so that you won't get stuck on projects when you need a decision made. We talked about proactively reporting work status, and we talked about increasing the range of people that you communicate with.
And so if you thought you got the message over two cars where we went on and on about communication, you'll probably be surprised that we're hitting this idea again with a sledgehammer. But there is more. So we're going to tell you what the more is. Most people think that they communicate enough. Is they spend all day in their email, on Slack, in Zoom meetings. And so they feel like they're talking all the time, to use the manager team. But you might be talking, but you're not communicating. You know, when we recommend one-on-ones, we get lots of pushback, especially from high eyes, of managers who say, but I talk to my team all the time.
Yeah, I don't need a structured meeting for that. I can just talk to my people all the time. They know my door's open. I know that I can come to them. We have open lines of communication. We talk all the time. That's not the same.
Yeah. And then they're like, oh, there's a whole different level of conversation that's happening. Because there's a real difference in what you communicate if you know you have 30 minutes and you're allowed to talk first and that person has to listen to you.
Yeah.
Than if you are just interrupting or you're at the end of a Zoom meeting or you're supposed to be briefing on a certain subject, you don't have time to say, boss, I really want to talk to you about what's going to happen over the next year. Or, you know, my wife's pregnant and that's going to change the work hours that I can do. You don't have that conversation in those moments.
Yeah. I think this comes down to not, and I don't know, I don't know why it is, but maybe some managers losing sight of the level of kind of triaging that we do as directs, right? And wanting to say, okay, is this worth interrupting, right? Am I better suited waiting to bring this up? Or is this something that could wait? Or is this something that needs to be talked about now? And that is something that I think a lot of directs wrestle with. But managers sometimes will say, oh, no. We talk all the time, right? But you're not talking about everything all the time, right? You're talking about usually fires or things that come up.
Tactical things.
Things that are, I mean, let's just be honest, as the manager who's responsible for results in the team, you're talking about things that are more important for you.
And remember that communication quality is measured by individuals by whether the topic is of interest to them. And a lot of what you do when you're doing all that talking all the time isn't about what matters to the other person. It's about what matters to you. Now, if you just think about the last five emails you sent, you might have to open them up if it's been a while, but are they about moving work off your desk or are they about details that would help someone else move their work off their desk? No, I'll bet that at least four out of five were about moving work off your desk, getting work away from you, getting an answer that you need, and not about helping someone else.
Yeah.
And that all that stuff matters to you, but it doesn't matter to them. In fact, a lot of the time when people received those emails, they did exactly what you do when you receive emails with work from someone else. You go, oh, God, right?
Yeah.
It's unwelcome. Those emails aren't relationship building. Not that email is relationship building, but they're actively relationship destroying.
Right. It's not a net neutral. I mean, there's a detriment there. Mm. Yeah. To the relationship. Yeah. So if you want to find out how well you're actually communicating, I love this, right? We have an actual exercise for you. Instead of just, instead of just making noise, let's see if you're actually communicating. Try this. Look at all of the communication you do in a day, okay? That's emails, IMs, Zoom, phone, in person, all of it, everything. And give yourself 1 point if the communication was of value to another person. You don't get a point unless the communication aided someone in something they're interested in. So if you've completed a task and that allows them to do a task that they were waiting on, that counts. If you're volunteering information, that counts. If you're clarifying something that gets them kind of unstuck, that counts. If you're just moving work off of your desk and onto theirs, no, that does not count. Okay. Then you divide by the total amount of communication. So all the data points that you got. And Wendy, if it's more than 30%, we will be shocked. Okay.
Yeah.
But the point here is now you have a metric, you have a standard or something to, you know, measure yourself by that you can work on improving both the frequency and the quality of your communication.
So at least 70% of the time, you are giving other people things to do.
Yeah.
Even if you think of yourself as the bottom of the organization chart, you're still giving other people things to do. It's amazing how much we do that. Next, start peer one-on-ones. So peer one-on-ones are a variation of manager tools one-on-ones for managers, but peer one-on-ones are adapted to work with the equal relationship between peers rather than the manager-direct relationship. And so we recommend that you start with the people with whom you work most closely and don't ask for one-on-ones because people have connotations, they have ideas about what that means and, oh, are you mm-hmm. trying to manage me? So just ask for a weekly update meeting. And schedule it for 15 minutes and use your 15 minutes for questions and updates. So you're actually giving them value. We're talking about what's of value to them first. And I just did that in a paragraph. So please don't do this before you read or listen to the guidance in the Peer One-on-Ones podcast because there's
a lot more to it.
Yeah. And you could easily damage a relationship by not doing this quite right. So,
right.
Just make sure that you have listened to the whole thing.
Yeah. But to reiterate what Wendy's saying here is peer one-on-ones are not an opportunity to get all the updates that you want, right? Or an opportunity, even worse, or an opportunity to complain about your peer's behavior.
I don't like the way you do your job.
Right, exactly. So yeah, let's make sure we have this meeting once a week so that you can hear how much I don't like how you do your job. We have a tendency to use any new tool, this is just human behavior, to make our own life better. And that means resolving the problems that we see or that, you know, cause us, you know, duress and the things that we feel. So no, that's not what this is for. To really make these meetings into relationship building activities, you got to keep in mind what matters to your peer. Start with those things at the top of your list, okay? These meetings will give you a chance to have actual communication instead of just exchanging information. It will also give you an opportunity to have a minute or two of that kind of before the meeting, unrelated kind of conversation with your peer, which gets lost when we're not co-located.
Right, because you've put aside time, so you know you're not interrupting. There's only the two of you, so nobody else is listening or about to join. So it's a really good opportunity for those like, hey, how was your weekend? And if you lose a minute or two of your time because you spent it saying, how was your weekend? That's fine. It's amazing how much you can get done in 15 minutes. So next is choose higher quality communication mediums. So we all know that email isn't as good as phone, isn't as good as video when it comes to the quality of communication. And yet we usually choose the lowest possible quality medium for our communication instead of the highest. Why would I make a phone call if I can send an email? Or mm-hmm. why would I do video if I can just do a phone call? Like, we always choose the least effort. So instead, choose a higher version. Like, if you want to improve your relationships, so instead of email, make a phone call. And it's okay if you have to leave a message and send an email anyway, right? Even the people who would prefer to have all their communication by email, mm-hmm. understand that sometimes it's easier and quicker to have a synchronous conversation, a conversation where you're both in the conversation at the same time.
Right. Rather than 7 or 8 emails back mm-hmm. and forth, right? Over 2 days, potentially, we could have 1 10-minute conversation. And we're not suggesting that you call instead of every email you send, right? Or that you have to be on video instead of picking up the phone and just having a phone call. Or that we're also not suggesting that you ignore other people's preferences, right? And understanding, you know, certainly that's part of what we recommend is understand, you know, how the other person likes to be communicated to. And, you know, we say communication is what the listener does. And so you should absolutely consider that and factor that in. But we shouldn't always default to choosing the lowest quality medium for communication. It means sometimes we should choose a higher quality medium instead. That's it.
When we're talking about video, video is the highest quality medium that you can use when you're working remotely, because the highest quality is to be in the same room together. And so the next one down is video until we can do holographics, which they tell me is just around the corner.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. But choosing a high quality medium means, in addition to what we've already just said, but choosing video, and when you do, having the video on. There's no point in choosing video and then not having the video on.
Yeah, there are some great benefits to having your video on. And I know sometimes, I mean, we have managers who contact us and say, you know, I'm really trying to change the culture in my organization. I'm really trying to, you know, make video kind of the standard. And it's tough. It's a challenge sometimes. There are a lot of benefits to being on video in terms of your success. First, it assures your boss and everyone else on the call that you're present, you're there, you're concentrating, you're paying attention, you're not multitasking. And listen, you could say, well, I'm not multitasking when I'm not on video. But we don't know, right?
Yeah.
It's you know, we have to guess.
We all assume the worst about everybody else.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. We judge ourselves by our motivation or our intent, and we judge others by what we see, their behavior. And so, yeah, it assures other people that you're in the meeting, you're present, right? Second is it mitigates some colleagues' potential resentment, right? Some of those people on that call had to get up, get dressed, you know, put on pants and, you know, that type of stuff, right? And just take, you know, other pains to be in an in-person meeting. And those folks could resent the fact that, hey, you get to dial in from home, right? There's a nice comfy bed behind you. Nice. Must be nice, right? And so you didn't have to do all of that. And so, you know, if you don't have your video on, there's no proof that you even did kind of the bare minimum to be professional. And, you know, being on video helps with that.
I have done a bunch of sales calls recently. I was investigating something, and so I asked some people to demo their products. And probably 4 out of 5 weren't on video. And I was on video.
Goodness.
And I'm like, you want me to buy stuff? And there's no proof to me that you actually exist and or got dressed for this. And it was just like, you didn't even meet the minimum standard of, you know, putting some clothes on and brushing your hair, you know. And so turning on your video convinces people that you're not doing less than them.
Yeah, I may have told this story before, but I've had 2 roles where I was working remotely, and this being one of them. And there were calls, lots of calls, okay? The one before I worked at Manager Tools, I had probably 150, 175 calls. And one person, one time, was on video, and it was purely accidental. Immediately, they noticed they were on video, and they said, oh my gosh, what is this? And they turned themselves off of video. Everything. No one was on video. I came to work at Manager Tools. I have had, I would estimate, probably close to 400 calls you know, on Zoom. And I think two haven't been on video. One was with you, I think. We were literally just hopping on for 2 seconds and you were sharing your screen. So there, you know, it was, you know, 1 second. I think another one was with Mike and it was the same thing. It was just going over a finance thing and it was 2 minutes. And so he wasn't on video. And I really was like, you own the company, dude. You can do whatever you want. But, you know, the standard here is on video. I mean, it's not weird if no one's on video, or I mean, I'm sorry, it's not weird if everyone's on video. It's weird if someone isn't on video.
It is.
And it's just a difference.
When Mark and I started doing Skype one-on-ones on video, when Skype introduced video, and mm-hmm. he said, we're going to do video. He gave me 3 months, said, we're going to do video, like every month. He said, next call, we're going to be on video. Because he knew that I didn't want to do it. And I still hate it. I don't like looking at myself. I hate it. But it is what we do. And it's what he expected. And I did it. Like, it's just a rule. You just do it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it doesn't get any easier. I don't like it anymore. But it's what I do. So, you know, get over it.
Right. Exactly. We don't get paid to do what we like. We get paid to do what's effective. Right?
Exactly.
Yeah. So our next point is pay attention. Okay. Sometimes the things that go without saying need to be said. If you want to know what matters to other people, you have to pay attention. Once we've moved past the task completion of what matters to them, for most people, it's family, it's their hobbies, their beliefs, those things that don't necessarily come up on a daily basis or... Even better, there isn't really a standard operating procedure for, right? There's no rule book or there's no, you know, manual for people. And so you actually have to pay attention to those things that people talk about in their in-between moments, right?
You have to know the names of their spouses and their children. And you have to remember that they said they had a rough night with the baby and ask if it's feeling better. he or she, usually. and you have to remember that they're going on vacation and ask them how it was when they get back. And you have to remember that they care about their golf handicap or their marathon time or how, and ask how their training is going. Mm-hmm. And you have to remember to wish them happy Yom Kippur or Eid Mubarak or Merry Christmas or Happy Birthday or whatever it is that they celebrate.
Some of us, those are the same day.
Yes, that's true. Happy Christmas birthday.
Yeah.
And for about half of us, this is easy. And you're wondering why anybody would have to say this. And for the other half of us, it's really difficult. But mm-hmm. if you want to mitigate the work from home discount on relationships, you have to find a way to do what's hard. And the really nice thing about working from home is you can have a whiteboard on your wall out of sight of everybody when you're on video that says, ask Mike about his birthday. I write it down because it doesn't come naturally to me.
Right. Well, and this is where I think our audience doesn't skew high I. Our audience skews high D, high C. And I think this is where sometimes high I's show some value because mm-hmm. they can help you remember this stuff because they do naturally kind of think of this stuff. And if you're talking to a high I, right? It's not as hard to get this information out of them, mm-hmm. right? They'll share, they'll make little comments about their birthday being on Christmas. They'll make little comments like that that remind you, right? And they think of that as a way to connect and maybe they don't necessarily think that you should have to remember, you know, the names of their kids. So they'll say, Hayes was, mm-hmm. you know, he had a really rough night and we were up late, right? That type of stuff. They'll do that because they want you to have that information, even if it's not your, you know, natural tendency.
That's a nice benefit about having Maggie remembers everybody and everything. And so whenever I've forgotten, I just ask Maggie and she remembers some random fact about that I can use to connect with someone.
Oh, it's amazing. We'll talk about a company and she'll say, oh, we know so-and-so over there because they did this and they used to work for this person. And we're like, wow. Okay. Just the connections there in her brain.
I know. It's amazing. So if you're like me and you're on the this is difficult side, use the high eyes nesses around you.
Mm-hmm.
Deciding to work from home is an exercise in deciding whether you're willing to accept the negative effect on your career and do the extra work to mitigate that negative effect in return for the benefits that you're going to get from working from home for you and your family. And only you can make that decision. We hope that we've given you all of the information that will help you make that decision. And we'll just tell you again, the one thing you can't do is have your cake and eat it too. Thanks, Andrew.
Thanks, Wendy.
That's the last part of this cast series. We'll be back next week with a new topic.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.